Franz Botwig, written by Ashvay and read by Jupp. They left before finishing dessert, which was unheard of. Well, it was unheard of for Zerafir. Crowley often skipped dessert, stealing a bite or two of whatever Zerafil had chosen to indulge in was much more his style. Theft was a prime demonic activity, and besides, watching the angel enjoy himself was much, much more satisfying. There were certain predictable aspects to their dining together, particular when in a celebratory mood. One of the most reliable of these was that Aziraphale would linger happily over dessert, savoring it, and making certain to enjoy the last bite of the meal every bit as much as he had the first. As he so often did, Aziraphale said, "Oh, you really must try this, my dear. It's scrumptious." Crowley shrugged happy acquiescence and was about to reach for a spoon. But then Aziraphale held out his own spoon for him, pomegranate panna cotta quivering on the matter. There'd been a split second of hesitation, but only out of surprise. He didn't need to ask, neither of them did. They both knew what was happening. Crowley had leaned forward and very deliberately taken the bite into his mouth, his eyes locked on Aziraphale's all the while. The sunglasses really didn't hide much, not from Aziraphale, not after 6,000 years. He'd made a show of it, something quieter and more deliberate than Aziraphale's own antics. He'd hummed. Aziraphale's eyes had gone dark. And now they were kissing madly in a lift. There'd been a few more steps along the way, dizzy and rushed, paying the bill with a miracle, leaving the remnants of the panna cotta on the table. It really had been good, and deserved better than such abandonment, but would have to content itself with the knowledge of having been the catalyst for an event 6,000 years in the making. All but running for the door. And then, somewhere between one step and another, one heated glance and another, deciding their homes were far too far away, and perfectly serviceable rooms and beds could be found much closer to hand. And then kissing, madly, in a lift. In the dazed part of his mind that observed and questioned things, Crowley viewed the situation. He could see himself in the reflective walls, pressed up against one of them by a gratifyingly enthusiastic Aziraphale, who was currently mouthing at Crowley's throat and moaning like he was tasting langoustines on Jew pigeon. He could see his own hand tangled in Aziraphale's curls, pulling him in closer, see the tendons on the other side of his neck stretch taut as he tilted his head back. He could see the way Aziraphale was gripping him by the shoulders, holding him still. He could feel himself caught in place. If they'd drunk champagne for another 2 days straight, it wouldn't have been half as intoxicating. He tried to say something to that effect, but Aziraphale's teeth nibbled under his ear at that point, and it came out a garbled mess of something that might, in one language or another, resemble "Bark, yes, please." He shifted his weight, which brought Aziraphale's thigh more firmly between his. Crowley had been dreaming of Aziraphale's thighs for millennia, and was both astonished and unsurprised that it was entirely living up to his fantasies, especially as he ground his cock against it. It was a Xerophir's turn to gobble something that might have been, "Oh, that's lovely," in Sumerian, but any attempts at translating into more modern linguistics was lost as they returned to the kissing medley thing, which appeared to be a new favorite pastime for them both. Crowley slid his hands down from Aziraphale's hips and around to his arse, squeezing and pulling it inward. Aziraphale gasped and rolled his pelvis against Crowley's, then did it again when Crowley groaned. The noise he made at this point sounded quite like soup in Icelandic, but this was probably a coincidence. Crowley pushed back, and Aziraphale stumbled a bit, and they pivoted into the other wall, which happened to have the buttons for the different floors on it, not that they noticed or cared. Not when Crowley was too busy having his turn, darting in like the snake he was, to lick a stripe up Aziraphale's jaw and then latching onto the neck, sucking hard. Aziraphale's head fell back. There were small pinging noises as the buttons for numerous floors lit up, and the lift machinery churned into motion. Neither of them noticed, being much too occupied with wandering hands and mouths. Aziraphale tucked Crowley's shirt free of those two tight denims. Really, much too tight for this purpose, but Crowley hadn't been expecting this circumstance when he'd chosen them. In fact, he'd never picked his clothing with the possibility of having sex in a lift with a literal angel in mind. It was a lesson he would take very much to heart for next time. And splayed both hands on the skin of his lower back. Warm, thick fingers caressed Crowley's spine, and they both whimpered with delight. Not that Crowley would ever, ever admit to it. Demons do not whimper, not even for angelic caresses. He might have sighed a bit, that's all, really. Crowley didn't bother with undoing things and just snaked a hand into the back of Aziraphale's trousers to make a closer acquaintance with that angelic ass. Aziraphale exhaled pleasure and approval in the form of Crowley's name. There was another ping, and the door began to open. Crowley didn't even hesitate. With his free hand, more easily accessible hand, to be accurate, it had been very happily occupied with undoing Aziraphale's bow tie, and very much wanted to get back to that. Thank you. He snapped, and the lift doors immediately slid shut again. While he was at it, he broke the security camera. He could claim it was just for general mayhem, but the truth was that now that they were finally officially unobserved, he wanted to keep it that way. For the moment, privacy was more titillating than the thrill of getting caught or pissing off a few of the local humours. They could toy with voyeurism another time if Aziraphale wanted. Crowley was far too busy for a conversation on the topic at present.
"Oh, thank you, my dear,"
Aziraphale said, the words somewhat garbled as his breath kept catching mid-syllable. A good trick, considering that every word in the sentence had only one syllable. Crowley grunted something that might be, "You're welcome," in Neanderthal. The Neanderthals had never existed, being a cosmic joke, of course, along with dinosaur fossils, but he managed it all the same. and went back to the very important task of undoing Aziraphale's bow tie. He was considering using teeth instead of fingers when Aziraphale took more initiative, sliding his hands around under Crowley's disheveled shirt. Enthusiastic fingers wandered up his chest, finding his nippers and running nails over them. Crowley snarled. It was a snarl, and not another whimper. Definitely not.
Keep it up, Angel, and we won't make it to the bed.
It was meant to be a threat. It sounded more like a plea. Aziraphale hummed approval and repeated the gesture, and Crowley seized his mouth in another fierce kiss, newly sharp fangs nipping at the angel's lower lip.
In here, then, Crowley managed, once he'd managed to retrieve his tongue from halfway down Aziraphale's throat. Take the edge off a bit.
Darling, said Aziraphale, and Crowley's eyes nearly rolled into the back of his head. Darling was new.
It will take 100 years to take the edge off my desire for you, at least.
As though to emphasize this point, he shifted his weight and pushed his pelvis roughly against Crowley's, grinding their cocks together. It was crowded and squashed and fucking fantastic. Crowley's knees wobbled.
Right. 100 years of this. I can do. I probably won't just cooperate.
He wasn't altogether sure of that, but Aziraphale smiled at him with so much encouragement and, Satan have mercy, he doesn't. Lust that Crowley would try anything to keep that expression on him. He lowered his head and rested it on Aziraphale's shoulder as he rolled his hips against the angel's, the hard length of him pressing against the angel's dick. That was a thing that he just thought, that existed, that he was touching, albeit through a few layers of clothing. Aziraphale had a dick, and it was hard. And it was hard for Crowley, and he moaned openly, abandoning any pretense of dignity. He'd actually left his dignity downstairs somewhere by the front desk. That was all right. It wouldn't be missed for weeks. Aziraphale was just as amazed by this circumstance as Crowley, judging by how he groaned. They were both rutting enthusiastically against each other now, hot and graceless and so fucking human. It was fantastically human. They didn't really have human bodies. In the beginning, their corporations had been rather less accurate than they currently were, but millennia of learning about humanity had to allowed for a significant amount of fine-tuning and some important additions, like digestive systems and erogenous zones. But the ones they did have were doing damned good imitations at present, and Crowley hissed Aziraphale's name over and over, and fuck, 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 there. There, 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 and then he was there, and everything was light, and waves of heat, and Aziraphale, 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 and Aziraphale was crying out his name, and they shook together, until they both collapsed breathless against a wall. The mirrored walls were significantly less reflective,
and more steamy than they had been earlier, Crowley noticed absently with what part of brain was left. One had even melted, distorting into the shape of a funhouse mirror. Whoops! They stayed like that for a few minutes, shuddering in the aftermath. Aziraphale had folded Crowley into his arms and was absently stroking his head. Crowley was pretty sure he'd never been so content, even if his legs were having trouble remembering their purpose, and it would take significant dry-cleaning or a few well-placed miracles to get the stains out of their trousers. For once, he didn't give a single blessing how he looked. Well, he said eventually, that was a thing. Aziraphale chuckled and kissed his forehead. It certainly was. A good thing? The very best thing. Crowley laughed and leaned back a little, the better to see Aziraphale's eyes shining. Nah, I think we can do better. Oh, Aziraphale was radiant, which wasn't altogether just a descriptive term of speech, not for an angel.
You have a point. I'd quite like to, refine our technique, as it were.
Crowley's grin threatened to split his head in half. Could be arranged. He bent back and kissed Aziraphale's mouth, then his cheek, his earlobe. The royal suite just became miraculously available, you know. Strangest thing.
Sweets for the suite?
I'm not sweet. Crowley nuzzled at the skin behind Aziraphale's ear, flicking his tongue out curiously to taste.
Oh, I beg to differ, my dearest.
Aziraphale shivered happily.
If you insist on denying it, I'll be only too happy to argue my position more directly.
He pressed his thigh between Crowley's, right against a wet stain covering Crowley's spent cock, and it was his turn to shudder.
Over and over,
Aziraphale murmured, turning his head and grazing his lips against the demon's cheek. His thigh kept rubbing, and Crowley felt blood starting to pool again, felt himself twitch. He was suddenly reminded of how Aziraphale had licked his lips earlier, while anticipating the arrival of the main course.
Until you're fully convinced.
Maybe I could, be persuaded to see your perspective eventually. Crowley kissed him with more slow deliberation than they've yet managed, their mouths parting and returning again and again. His head was swimming with ideas of what argue my position might entail. Better make that an extended reservation for the rooms, then. 1 week? 2? Aziraphale hummed. He tucked on Crowley's hair to encourage a little distance between them.
Perhaps we should leave the reservation open-ended, just in case.
Crowley growled a little, his eyebrow arched. I'll show you open-ended, angel. Aziraphale smirked and ran a finger along the line of Crowley's collarbone. The top two buttons of Crowley's shirt had fled for their lives some time ago.
I'm counting on it, my dearest.
There was another ping, this time of the lift reaching their floor. There was one more brief kiss as a promise of things to come. Crowley stepped back and tucked in his shirt, removing unsightly stains as an afterthought. Aziraphale adjusted his trousers and retied his bow tie. The doors politely remained open. Then Crowley offered out his arm. Aziraphale took it and beamed at him, and they walked together out of the lift. The end.